Days you had smoke signals, it was simple enough to do it, and now we have all sorts of gadgets. Okay.
Yeah, what? They keep updating it all the time. I know.
You can't teach old dogs and etc. So, okay. So we're holding here in the middle of the Gasas Ruach in Yanim. And last time we saw the Royal Igdor Kashera, Einafro Ninar Trias Amesim. Now we have another one. Dorish, so we have Omer Abelazah. Kol Adam Shesh Begasas Ruach Shechina Miyalela Salav. Shenemar Kiram Hashem Veshofa Yira. But that's not really the pasuk for this. Vegovoya Mimerchak Yeda is the pasuk for it. Dorish Abavira Vitem Abelazah. So he dashed the pasuk to mean Miyalel. Miyalo means, Rashi says, mekonenes, to mourn, but it also means to mourn out loud. Mourning itself is a private, it's an emotion. When you're mekonen, it's a type of broadcasting where you're very vocal about it, and you know, you yell and scream, oyvei, and so on and so forth. So miyalolos includes both nekudas. And I think the darshan of pasuk, "Vavoya mimerchak yeda," the gavoa, somebody who makes himself big, balgaiva, mimerchak yeda, he broadcasts it round and about. I think that is the way Maral learns it, as you know, more putting the dugish on the broadcasting it to others rather than the actual kina part of it. But let's see first the next piece first, because. Dorish of Avir Vitem Rav Laza, Boy Yoreish Loi Kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Bas V'Dom. Midas Bas V'Dom Gavoya Reyes HaGavoya, Ein Gavoya Reyes HaShafel. In Midas Bas V'Dom is when things are tall, they see each other. So when you have two buildings the same height, they see each other. Ein Gavoya Reyes HaShafel. Something tall has a hard time seeing something low. Kaddish Baruch Hu is very high, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks down, and so on. So we can learn it just as kind of a very nice midah that it's a person, you know, Bas of Adam usually tends to flock around big and important people, and you don't want to deal with the people that are kind of neb or whatever it is. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a big Baal Chesed, and he reaches out and reaches down, and so on. There is another knetch that the Maral says over here, and then maybe we'll see another point. But let's see the Maral first. Amiras Kadosh Baruch Hu Einakach. Pirush Shuroya Hashafel Koydim Hagavoya. He sees the shuffle before the Gavoya. Hefech Haroy. I'll do it later because the Maral explains it in a way that should follow from this one. So he says the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the Gavoa is because it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with the person who is. Dake means like repressed, down, or whatever you want to call it. Ki ha'ila b'mashu ila peina ol befrat. Kel chol ila yesh olu. O lekach huroes ha'shafel koidem ki rishon Hashem yisbarach. So the first thing that Maral explains is because the ila sees the ol before anything else, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is shachin as daka. So let's explain this point over here. Imagine that a person is smart and a person knows X, whatever it is. So your tendency, I'm not talking as bad midas that you like to be big and important and snobby, but in terms of what interests you, a type of person with an equivalent type of knowledge, status, etc. Because birds of a feather flock together. It's a type of thing that my frame of interest and relationship will be with the similar, the equal, and so on. That's normal. So if I am a person with X amount of achievement, that's the type of person I would hang out with. However, let's imagine a person has a Talmud, a very good Talmud. So if the Talmud himself comes in knowing nothing, and I'm the one who's teaching him everything, and the Talmud is a real Mekabel and a good Talmud and so on, then I have a stronger kesha with him than I would have with a peer. It's like what the Gemara says, that the chol adam miskane chutz mibno talmido. A person is mekane everybody except for his son and his Talmud. So a son and a Talmud, so a child, what makes a person extremely close, so if a person has a child who's extremely fulfilled, he's somebody who's done very well, the closeness comes because I gave it to him, he drew from me, I find myself within him. True of a child, true of a Talmud, those are relationships where his metzias I understand as being the his galmus, the embodiment of myself. The more the person, the more the Talmud sees it as such. In other words, if a Talmud comes to me accomplished on his own, he's successful, he's doing well, and he has certain things that I can be helpful from, so that's nice. But the Talmud who came that has nothing of his own, and everything that he has is from me, is a stronger kesha, akin to a kesha of a child to a parent. One of the dimensions of that relationship is because the child came into the world with nothing, and all that he has in every aspect is from me. So that type of kirva is greater than the person who is of my measure, but came independent of it. And that's why, like I said, I'm not mekane my son and my Talmud, because I know that whatever my son and my Talmud is, then he is expressing myself through him. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to the Bria, so let's look at it. As equals, there's no such relationship. Nobody's in the league of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his brains, with his maisim, or anything. It's nonsense. There's no such relationship. So yes, we can say that within this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he likes people do X versus Y, but that's not at all a type of relationship that's of kirva that's possible. But when a person sees himself as a kli kibul for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a vehicle for expression, then that's possible in this world. Not only is it possible in this world, that's tachas this world. The difference between a gaiva and another, like I said last time, it's not evaluating myself in what do I know, what don't I know, and what I'm capable of and not capable of. Those evaluations should be very matter of fact. But the question is, what does it mean to me? It's like this, the mashal we gave last time. If I have $10 million in my pocket, then I feel kind of very, very good about myself. Very, very proud of myself and very chashev. If it's somebody else's check that I'm taking to the bank to deliver, I feel zero. All I feel is I have to go down to the bank and deposit it. The $10 million is no shaykhus to me, and the mela, it does not mitzarev to me. The mida of, so the only mida that makes a person shaykh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'etzim is another, where the person feels I have zero of myself, and everything I have is you. That means that the person has a lakus within himself. That's his hargasha, that's what he expresses, and that's what he lives. So by a bus of a dom, because it's possible to have to be equal, so then it's you know, a person who's as accomplished as me is also a relationship. But by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the only relationship that's really possible with Bnei Adam is this type of relationship of being the, what he calls the Ilah and the Olol. The Ilah means cause in a very fundamental way, Olol means product in a very fundamental way, and that's where that Nava comes in. And going back to the piece before, the Maral explains that Yalala, he has two explanations. He has, he says it's a way of expressing lack of satisfaction. And Ral says, "Mipnei sheinu mashpil atzmo lius nichnas tachas reshus hashchina, v'lius nechshav ol el ha'ila." I would add a piece. The word miyalalas is a type of kina, Rashi says. It's a dirge of some sort, an elegy of some sort. And the point of that is because any type of avelus, any type of loss, is when you lose some of self. So that's why a person's close krovim are people who are part of the self. And when I lost my father, my mother, I lost a piece of self, and therefore I'm a konin on it. So somebody who becomes a balgaiva has cut himself off, so to speak, from a Kadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol, and that's where there's the makom for yalala. So it explains the kinah part of the yalala well. Doesn't quite explain why he's modil acherim, but this piece goes well with what the Rambam says over here, what the Maral says over here. That's the first pshat of Maral over here. He says a second pshat. Ve'oid, k'Hashem yisbaruch ha'shehu pashut, v'yisbaruch k'ol ha'kol, lo'tuchu lomar she'esh lo ma'alam yuchedes, rakol ha'kol, v'lachein k'oidem roya ha'shavu k'ashiflus hu pashut v'einem yuchud, u'bedove zeh hu rishon, v'koyim she'yoris ha'shem yisbaruch hu pashut v'k'ol ha'kol v'shel ha'om zeh. So this is a little more, it's a deeper point, and Ra'al makes in many places. Ra'al speaks about the Maila of Midas HaPshitus. So let's look at it. the Ra'al speaks about the Kohen. A Kohen Gadol is very, very chashev, much more chashev than a Kohen Hedyot. We express it, or the Torah means to express it, by having him wear very, very fancy begadim, and to, you know, to put on zohav and a tzitz and a this and a that, and it looks very shtadi, very chashev. That's normally a kohen gadol as opposed to kohen hedyot doing the regular avoda. On Yom Kippur, the kohen goes into kodesh kodashim wearing big day lavan. And Maral gives reasons. Maral says, and he explains, this is the maila of matzah over chametz. There is something called Midas HaPshitus, which is even greater than the Midah of Chshivas that's in Merkavis. So let's give an example, and we'll something like an analogy. Imagine you have somebody who's a fairly simple person, and you have a conversation with the person, and the things that he says are simple. So we say, okay, his madrega is a low madrega. I would peg him at a 3 for the level of understanding. So his understanding of the world, of science, of everything in the world, very, very simple, and that's it. So that's a kind of a simple person. A person who knows and understands a lot deeper, person gets up and discusses things, and he leaves you behind in many, many, you know, just because of the volume of stuff that he's telling you and the complexity is that, we consider him to be more knowledgeable, deeper, etc., etc. The really great geniuses can take that whole complex point and give it over in a fairly simple way, in which it will leave even a person who's a layperson understanding, And that's considered to be even a greater Maila. He was able to take that whole complex situation and reduce it to a simple term, to an understanding that encompasses everything, and yet is Pashat. That's an incredible feat. Einstein actually wrote a book for laymen explaining his stuff very, very pleasantly. It's an oimik of chachma where you're able to take amkus and rachvus and reduce it a simple way. In other words, you're showing that this is not extra. It's not a toisefes, but it's a thing itself. Whenever somebody adds a lot, I always have that feeling, you know, the word adds a lot. He's adding a lot of points. So sometimes a person says, he darshans something, let's say in learning, and you say, wow, the man said many, many great chidushim, and it's incredible how many chidushim he sort of extrapolated out of whatever. But sometimes the person says it says things, and then you say, wow, this is what it says. There is a famous story, I think it's pretty reliable. Mi Yeshiva, it started 200 years ago. There was a balabas, Tikhatinsky, who started it. He was a wealthy balabas, Torani person. He started it. He was a kind of the menial beginning. I don't know if one of his sons was involved. I don't remember but he was nifta. His son wasn't really capable of running it. They took in an interim person. And then at some point, they decided they are going to look. They're going to look for a Rosh Hashiva to take over. And they boiled it down to two candidates. One was a brilliant Talmud Chacham who remains unnamed. And the other one was a grandson, I believe, or a very young son of the one who founded it. His name was Reb Chaim Leib Tikhatinsky. And he actually is sort of put his mark on the yeshiva in its first phase in the early 1800s. Actually, mid-1800s is a better description. Now, the people who write the story describe the contest, so they had a contest between the two candidates. So the first one was the other candidate. And so they had a whole panel of Rabbanim and Talmid Chachamim sitting in and listening. And he absolutely gave those brilliant chidushim, and people ask questions, and he fired away answers, and it was like brilliance back and forth, and it was, you know, like Koilos Ubrokim of like Matan Torah. And when he finished, like, people were congratulating him, and they basically felt no point in having the other candidate do his stuff, but okay. Reb Chaim Leib Tikhatinsky spoke the next day, and he got up, and he was quiet in a very simple way. He started saying over the Gemara, and a half hour into it, people realized that nobody had been able to ask anything, and they were floored. I mean, he spoke simply, explained it, and nobody could budge. And then they realized he's the one who's the he's Roy, and he became Rosh Hashiva, and he gave a certain stamp of Pshat and so on. But the point was that it was something so simple, so posh. He had been able to take the needed complexity and show you that that's part and parcel of the original fabric of it. That if you just notice it in the Shoresh, then you would. Then there's no point to the first person showed chidushim, which means additions and added stuff, but really it's inherent within it itself, and that's really it's like when you take a Rambam, and I mean Reb Nachum Zichrono Livracha, when he would say a shir klali, would be brilliant and would be wonderful. When you get to the end of it, one of his favorite endings was to reread again his pshat into what it said. And it would be stunning, because now that you read it, you said, yeah, of course that's what he said. How did we think differently? It's famous line, Dvorim kiksavim. This is exactly what it says. So there's Midas HaKava, which is complexity. And that's something that sees chshivas. So when you have things that are very ornate, there's a certain chshivas and beauty to that, and yes. So you have a simple house where you don't have anything in it, and that's very simple. Then you have something that's very ornate and well attended to, and that's chshivas. And then an extraordinary fancy is when you're able to take, you know, put a lot of nice things in, but the lines look so simple that you say, wow, it's like, it's amazing. That's the difference. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being that he is one, it means that ultimately the perception is not, the greatest perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that there are many fantastic and wonderful things happening in the Bria, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays many, many gvuras and things of that nature, but the whole thing gels together as one. There are no fireworks. Every single piece in the Bria is part of one whole, and there's no extra stuff there. That's Midas Apshitas. Midas Apshitas is the understanding that it's one organic without a sense of addition to seven souls, so forth. So when we speak about Kadosh Baruch, so yes,
isn't that Midas Agdus as well?
Midas what? I missed you. You were cut off. What's Midas what?
Godless. We take all.
Well, godless is also perception. I'm saying, you know, this person is very, very, very big. Let's give a mushel. You know, sometimes you have a person who walks into a room and he fills the room with his presence and he radiates chashivas and so on and so forth. There's another person who seems to be part and parcel of everything, and yet everything is done by him. You realize, hey, it's all him. But the understanding it not as a tosefes, but as the thing itself, is what Midas Apshitas. Midas Apshitas means I don't see anything that's an addition. I see everything as being essential, the thing itself. It's just like a person writes a Shtickle Torah and he adds many, many wonderful points, and you say, wow, it's fantastic, there's so many sparks of wisdom. But when a person has a piece of Shtickle Torah where every piece snaps together, every kasha goes into showing the answer, and every answer fits together, that's the ultimate godless. Like Rashi. I mean, you know, there hasn't probably been no safe as much as Rashi or the Rambam that has been darshaned, and yet no safer presents itself as being pashat in the sense where there are no mounds, there are no additions. This is the presentation of the material as it is. So Midas Apshitas is a certain way of looking at Ma'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu that really is the ultimate. Somebody who is an anav and a shuffle, a shval ruach and an anav, he presents himself with a pshitas. I guess we'd call it matter of fact. This is the way it is. No sense of adding stuff. A Baal Gaiva says, you know, I'm a person who has these phenomenal achievements, and I'm great for this reason, great for this reason, great for that reason. I possess this chumrah, this hidur, and this chiddush, and this pilpul, and so on. An anav is okay. This is it. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is my pashtus. It's pashtus is that midah. I actually spoke in Manchester. They had the you know, for the mirror 200-year. To Taram, they had dinners all over, and so they would try to bring in people from different countries. So I spoke in Manchester and London, and I spoke about, is there any dominating feature that sort of would characterize the Mir Lederosov? So in London I spoke about the Dar Halim, if it's possible at all to say that there's some sort of common denominator, and in Manchester I spoke about the Tzur Sadam. Is there a common denominator to all the great people that were that there was sort of the Tzur Sadam of the Mir, Rabbi Yeruchim, Rabbi Zudel, Rabbi Chatzkel, Chulu, and the midah that I felt was the Mir Tchuna is Pashtus. You know, everything was kind of matter of fact and understated. That's the way it is, and that's it. There's no, you know, there was no hoo ha. as no, this is great, this is fantastic, this is so. Is there, there was a total dearth of any type of you know, gratifications. I spoke about when I was maspid Rebbe Folshmal Eveskhan Abrach in Abdibin Atzrol, and I said, you know, somebody, I remember when Rebbe Folshmal sort of became co-Rosh Hashiva, somebody, a chevron remarked, he himself was a little bit of Rosh Hashiva, he said, Rebbe Folshmal Evitz doesn't pass to be Rosh Hashiva. He said he has no ears about him. There's no praving. He's just very straightforward. He's the same bacha he was as a bacha, like straightforward. No, you never get any sense of grandness. He's as a matter of fact as they come and as unaffected as they come. I didn't say anything, but I want to tell the person that's exactly why he is probably very suitable to be a Rosh Hashiva. He might not have been a Chevron Rosh Hashiva because he was lacking all these wonderful milas of you know, of having these shtats and so on. But Namir, you know, simple, unaffected, matter of fact, and understated were kind of qualities of that. So Lamaisa, the difference between an Anav, so this is just another way, so one way of looking at a Nivus, one way of an Anav's look at himself is, this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me. I mean, I'm not, yes, my IQ is higher than yours. That's because Hashem plunked down another 50 points worth of brains. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm carrying the brains he gave me. Yes, I can sit for 18 hours and not budge. And for you, after 10 minutes, you fidget. But Akash Baruch Hu made him ADD and Akash Baruch Hu made me nerdy. That's what it is. So I don't have any reason to fill any ears. But there's a second knach. One nature of it is, it's all Hashem's gave me, and not mine, per se. There's a second one also, this is what I can do, so I did what I'm supposed to do. There is no sense of carrying it around as extra decorations, that, you know, look at me, look at me, look at that. There's, by the Chassidim, there's a vart. I don't know if it comes from the Arizal or not. I once looked it up. I don't remember what I found. They speak about it says about the different malachim that were molech on Esav. So the Arizal says these are all the shrashim of Ra and so on and so forth. All of them are meramis for different types of Ra, Yitzharas and so on. So one of them is a lady called Ru'uma. Reish Aleph Vav Mem Hei, or without a Vav. And the Chassidus Svarim, especially I've seen the Chabad many times, they said it's the Klipa of Ma is Anava. It's, you know, Ma Nachnu. Ma means what are we? We're nothing. So Anava is a very good Midah. There's a Midah called Ru'u Ma. Look at me, what kind of wonderful Anav I am. In other words, when you take Anivus itself and you put it on display, that turns Anivus into a klipa as well. That's the way he writes about it. But here the pshat is, the midah of Anivus is most akin to the midah of pshitus. In other words, a person who's not an Arav, his life is full of extras. Not only do I do this also. Not only this, also this, and also this, and also this. So I carry around a bag of a lot of alsos. Midas Apshitas is Kilakach Nesarta. If you're able to learn 10 hours a day, then you're supposed to be learning 10 hours a day. You're not doing anything more than you're supposed to. Your maximum abilities are what's asked of you. So there's no need, and there's no reason why I should feel different, and therefore emotionally, if I feel pshitus, pashut, you know, this is matter of fact, this is what it is, then I am that sense of things is equivalent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a midah that's given HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral says it also about matzah, that the reason why matzah is important, you know, the chshivas of matzah is because matzah is it has in itself the midah of pshitus. It's flour and water. That's all bread is, and that's all it has to be, and that's all matzah is. Once you start adding stuff to it, it's bread plus chimutz, plus this, plus that. That's where you start running into problems. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting to seek out a shuffle is because even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ram V'Nisa, but his Ram and Nisa is al derech the way a shuffle would be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas are not seen as being additions to what normal gods do X, and the Jewish God does X plus Y plus C. We get a bargain for God. And this is Hashem. Hashem is everything, everywhere, and anything that's Tov in the Bria is Hashem. There is no sense of it being, extra. So anybody who wants to shtal tzu to the midah of pshitas is of anava is shtalling tzu to this midah pshitas. One more point we'll add over here, and more to this concept of the rum seeing the shuffle that Hashem's dagishkon. It's there's an explanation given here normally that is more in line with I guess the deeper meaning, sort of the Kabbalistic meaning of it. There's a term used in Kabbalah about how the lowest spheres have most shaykhs with the highest spheres. And the different ways to express it. Rabbi Moshe Shapiro told me once, they used to say it in the vernacular, the taller a person is, the deeper he can reach down. So if let's say I have a bore that is 10 tefachim deep or whatever it's deep, the taller the person is, when he bends over, the further down he can reach. So it takes a big person to reach somebody who's much down and deeper down. They use it for many things like that. I mean, it does have some significance in the world of Kabbalah, but even on a level of midas and haggis, a person can handle the bigger tzaddik the person is, the bigger of a bal chet he can handle in a certain way, and so on. So I'll upon him, that's an explanation. Doesn't especially have a shaykhus here. I just wanted it's on the it says kolmokum shatemotze gadlusa shakasporu shamatemotze anvenasuso. Wherever you find the greatness of a person, that's where you find the greatest shakasporu. That's where you find his anava. So the anava in that sense means that, and you see it from the psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shtels tzu to lower. So lemashal, if let's say I'm a very bright person, I understand things extremely well, so I need to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this gift to be able to be mazbet to people who need better hezberim, to people who have a harder time understanding it. So greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed on the Bria is there to reach down lower and deeper. So the anava there is sort of not, when you speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is an anav. We're not talking about an emotional state of mind. You're talking about where he sees his role as kaviyachol. In other words, how does the so since every place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentions his greatness, it's followed by a description and I reach down very low, very deep. So the understanding is that greatness is given in order to reach down low and deep and so on. Okay, any questions, any points? Okay, so Mr. Shem, next week, same time.
Thanks, Rabbi. Thanks.
Take care. All the best. Bye.